Gina Cressy. It's August 5th, 1996. I'm at 23 Broadway, and I'm talking to Harriet Cross Henninger and Eleanor Cross Nunn. I'm interested in hearing, of course, stories from the early days, and perhaps you could start off by telling me how it was that your family first came to Mesa.
Well, the reason we are here is our grandparents came here and pitched tents for the camp meeting. And all these cottages around here are really close to the auditorium, which was just down in that park. So our lawn is tent size. It is 20 feet wide. It's about 75 feet long. But you see, if the cottage burned down, we could not replace it.
Oh.
We can remodel.
Mm-hmm.
We put in a new porch, save the old roof, and then later we thought we could put a new roof on it.
Uh-huh.
Just remodeling.
Yeah.
But Grandma and Grandpa had a farm in Laurel, Maine, and Grandpa believed in investing in real estate.
Uh-huh.
He owned a lot of cottages here, and he rented them.
Ooh.
Now, Eleanor and I were born in Massachusetts, Camden, Mass., and we came here 83 years ago.
Oh, what year was that?
That was 1913.
Gosh.
Yeah. And the first year we were here, right across the park, is a cottage called
Sunnyside.
Sunnyside. We stayed at the Sunnyside that first summer. And for 2 years we lived in Belfast. And we rented different cottages. Some of them Grandpa owned, I assume.
Yes.
And finally, Mother was a school teacher from Scotland. And she bought a cottage on the South Shore in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
We came down weekends in the spring. My father discovered it needed a new seawall.
We did.
So we sold it.
Well, that wasn't the only reason. Harriet and I didn't enjoy being down there because all our friends were up here. And we just seemed so removed that down
there.
In 1921, Mother bought this cottage.
Gosh.
Because you see, she was a school teacher.
Yeah.
She had the wherewithal to buy it, you see.
And the time to enjoy it.
Yeah. And she was born in a little summer place outside Glasgow in Scotland.
Hmm.
So I think that people either love cottage life or they hate it. I don't think there's any middle ground.
I think that's still true.
Oh, I thought everyone liked it.
Oh, no.
Everyone I know thinks I'm so lucky to be coming to the seashore.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends who love to dress up, but cottage life is not for them.
It's pretty informal. You're right.
Yeah. They like the best of everything, and that's what they enjoy.
Now, I have heard that in the early days, the young people would dress up for a dance at least once a season. Can you remember that? Where were the dances held?
Well, sometimes they'd be up at the country club.
Uh-huh.
We didn't belong to it, but usually if some organization had a dance, then anyone that you didn't have to belong could go to the dance.
Okay. And you didn't have to have a date. It wasn't.
Oh, yes, you usually had a date.
Oh, you did.
Well, while we were younger, we went as girls, group of girls, and group of fellows.
Oh, we did?
Yes. We didn't have always have dates. But we remember when across the street was a real park. Before, it was a parking lot of cars.
And where we are now, what we're talking about is Marathon Square.
Yeah.
We're looking out the window on a hot summer day, and we're seeing the pump and that grassy area that is now full of cars, and what you're saying is that used to be what?
Just a park.
And we used to play there after dinner at night.
Mm-hmm.
We had quite a gang of boys and girls.
Yeah.
And we used to play run a mile and that type of game.
Uh-huh.
Can you think of any others?
The mothers would sit on the porches and they could hear us, you see.
Okay.
Something like that.
Sure.
There weren't many boys, Eleanor.
There was some.
There were mostly girls and a few boys. And we had hide and seek.
Sure.
and we'd run out. It would be the tree out there with the Marathon Square sign on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd run out until someone yelled, "All y'all in free," and then we would run.
Did you get water from the pump?
Oh, yes. My son came here as a child. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing he wanted to do. Get water to drink.
Kids
he
love that.
It.
Sure.
Yes.
Yes.
Good old
he takes one of his daughters, and they go over there and get water. They test it once a month.
Well, I didn't know that last year. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure it was safe to drink.
Yeah.
Well, it has a lot of iron in it.
What are some of the ways in which Bayside was different when there were not so many automobiles?
You had an automobile, you had to have a garage to put it in.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. And you couldn't put it out here.
Aha, uh-huh. When did that change?
I don't know, but I suppose the advent of so many cars.
Yeah, how did you get here? Tell me about your trips. Where were you coming
from? Down from Bangor.
Okay, even as early as 1921?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, for a while we lived in Belfast.
Okay.
About 2 years.
Okay.
And so we always had cars. Mm-hmm. My father would have a car for his business. And Grandma lived in Belfast. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Some of our ancestors came from this area. They came from out from Morrow.
I see.
And so I suppose that's why one reason we gravitated here.
Mm-hmm. Probably so. Yeah. What memories do you have about the park and the dock area down there?
We would hear it blow its horn down there, just as it came around the bend.
She's talking about the Boston boat.
Elmer and I would jump out of bed, throw some clothes on, and run down to watch the boat come in.
Oh, it was a big event. Oh,
yes.
Uh-huh.
But only the children showed up because it was around 7 o'clock in the morning.
Seven.
How often did it come?
Every day. And, often it would be very foggy.
Sure.
But we had to see what was going on.
Yes.
Mother
would get up and would cook breakfast, make blueberry muffins.
Oh,
and so they would come back and eat.
How nice.
And everybody went down there at night,
4:35. Yeah.
It was the social meeting place. Yes. And if you didn't go there, just like they do today.
Bayside hasn't changed much in that way.
And then the line of the boats coming from Boston had an agreement. As long as we had a wharf here, they had to stop.
Okay.
And they were losing money. So one very foggy morning, when unfortunately my sister Elder and I slept in, they ran the port. Accidentally.
Whoops.
Accidentally,
of course.
And they had to rebuild the port. And they never stopped here again. That ended the contract.
Well, it was a case of less freight. Most of the freight was being carried by trucks.
So it just wasn't needed as
much. It wasn't worthwhile.
And how was the mail delivered here?
Oh, that came down here twice.
Twice a day.
In this old Ford car.
Uh-huh.
And the man who drove the Ford and carried the mail was Mr. Noyce.
Uh-huh.
And his face was black from the dirt on the road. You think it came from Belfast?
Yes, it came from Belfast.
Twice a day.
And then people would walk over to?
Yeah, it was on, what street is that?
Main Street?
No.
That's where the mail came, right?
There was a grocery store. A Dickie's store.
I'm interested in hearing about stores. It sounds like there were so many. Where was Dickie's?
It was at a right angle to where the real estate place is now.
Sure.
I can't think what the name of that street is.
Well,
it's
the one that Blair's on.
Yeah.
And, I served as working in the post office one summer.
Did you
served one summer, didn't you? And the interesting thing is when our father was a boy, he worked in the post office too.
Oh, family tradition.
Down here?
Yeah.
Were you federal employees the way?
Yeah. Mr. Dickey, who was the sheriff, swore me in. I remember putting up my right hand, and my heart was going pitter-patter.
What year was this in Canada?
This would have been about, let's see, I think I was 15 or 16. 25?
Gosh, that's a good man. That's a lot of responsibility.
And then,
was your assistant? Your assistant to the postmistress.
Yes. And the postmistress was, what's her name?
Harriet. Was she Harriet?
Yeah. Her name was Harriet. She lived up here.
Harriet Whiting.
Whiting. Mrs. Whiting. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Whiting didn't like to get up early in the morning. So she hired us to come and say at 8. And the mail came in at 10 or 10:30. And she'd get there and help with the mail. And then we would have the afternoon off to play. We'd be back at 4:30 or so to help with the second mail.
We had two mails.
That's amazing.
Yes.
And
I can't remember where the mail came to.
Do you remember? Well, I remember Dickie's was up the hill. He's the one who swore me in.
No, I mean the address of the mail.
It was Bayside Mail.
Oh, what
name? That was just called Bayside Mail. And then later, Lowell Parker's wife, Arlene, was the postmistress.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked for quite a few years. And then they decided to close all the small post offices across the country.
Uh-huh.
And the funny thing is, the one here was making money. But you know, you have a law. Close them all, so they could. So then, by that time, Lowell had...
he ran the store.
Yeah, he ran the store.
That was her husband.
S.S. Peters canned goods.
Ooh.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And he got the best donuts from somewhere.
And did people mostly do their grocery shopping right here in town?
No, they didn't do a whole lot.
Okay. You go to Belfast?
Yes.
We didn't have cars, so we did quite a bit here. But those people would rather drive into Belfast and save 2 or 3 cents.
The ones that could, yeah.
Yeah.
But many people didn't have cars, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then people used to come along in carts, and they would sell fish and
vegetables.
And some man would stop right out here in the park and sell all these things. People would come to wait for him because he'd come in around to certain sitting on the porch and talk Christmas for
him. So, well, we should come back.
Yeah, remember when the fisherman's son used to come? He got 3 tin of mackerel for a quarter. Fresh out of the water. Well, they were good. Then there was a store up here at the end of Clinton Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And
that was Hastings.
No, it was not when we were young.
What was it?
Well, I was going to say it, but now you knocked it out of my head. can you think of it?
No. I thought Hastings was one day.
Oh, no, that was later.
There's Barbie, but we better let her go.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I was going to tell you that when we were young, they still have the building down here with the... services.
Oh, right. Oh, the church services. The religious
yeah,
services.
With the pavilion.
Yeah.
No, just a wooden structure.
Sure. And we kids, I suppose we were in our early teens, used to go down there Sunday nights, and someone, a gang of girls, someone would play the piano and bang out hymns. And we would scream hymns at the top of our voice. And we thought we were pretty devils.
Well, you were.
Remember doing that, Eleanor?
No, I don't.
I remember.
I remember they had nice hymns. This was a Methodist church.
Yes.
And they were rather strict. I don't know if you're a Methodist.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not, but I've heard that they...
Yeah, they're rather strict.
Uh-huh.
And we used to go with my grandmother down to the services. And they take place for about a month when we were young.
Yeah.
I suppose previously they went all summer.
Uh-huh.
And so we went a few times. But we like the music mainly.
Well, sure, yeah. That's a good
thing. Yeah, right, yes.
It's a good draw, yeah. Yeah. A lot of music. And one thing I was thinking about when you were talking about selling the mackerel and so forth, how was cooking done? What kind of stoves did it have?
Yeah, an oil stove.
An oil stove.
Kerosene oil. You could do anything on that.
Well, sure.
And he had an oven that fitted on top.
Okay, and that was also kerosene.
Oh, yes.
Oil. Yeah. And then when it was time to do the dishes, you didn't turn on the faucet and have hot water.
Oh, yeah, you did.
You heated the water, huh?
And we always did the dishes, Harriet and I.
Okay.
When we got the hot water heater, I thought that was the most wonderful thing in the world. I would say the faucet, hot, instant hot water.
Yeah. It really improved your life. And were there tubs and showers in the old days, or no?
No, I don't remember.
It
usually
went
in the water.
Yes.
And we all learned to swim in water waves. Have you ever seen those?
Certainly.
You know, you were blown
off. Blown off, sure. I had those too.
You did?
Yes, certainly, yes.
Well, that's where we learned to swim.
Yes.
And I was never allowed on the wharf until I could swim.
So you're not a bad rule.
So we used to swim down here. Uh-huh. I mean, that's where we learned. And then when I could swim over to the wharf, but then I was allowed on there.
Uh-huh.
Today, anyone goes on there, don't they?
Well, I think different families have different rules. Yeah. And, of course, we have a lifeguard. Was there a lifeguard?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, no. You're on your own.
Okay. Yeah. I wonder about the horseshoe pits. Were they back behind this cottage? Tell me about that.
That was regulation style. My father was one of the ones that belonged to the club. And a lot of the men played, and then one
Mr.
year
Bragg.
They invited Mr. Bragg to come. They none of them knew Mr. Bragg very well. He sort of kept by himself, but as soon as he started playing horseshoe pitching with the fellows, they found he was a wonderful man, and he gave him something to do.
Where did he live?
Peggy, she's right on the corner.
Love Joy. That's her father.
I see. So he was shy, but.
Yeah, he played every weekend.
And did children play as well, or was it an adult pastime?
Just adults.
Adults.
Just the men.
I think they mostly played weekends. Well, then, too. Because the men were not all. It was regulation. It was all measured out. Huh? And there was a woman from Philadelphia that lived down the waist. She worried for fear. They talked about rejuvenating it. And she worried for fear they'd play at night. They never played at night.
That wasn't a problem. No. How about the tennis courts? Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. Down there where they had the basketball, that was the tennis court.
Uh-huh.
And it was in front of the Northfield Hotel.
Yes.
And
who used to play there?
I used to play. Yes, I used to try to play.
Was it organized in any way?
I don't think so.
It wasn't kept up either. I twisted my ankle in a hole on the tennis court, and I fell down for about 3 years.
Oh,
it's worse than a break, I guess, a sprain.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Oh.
And the only thing I could do without pain was swim.
Yeah.
It was great in the water.
It's a painful water.
Yeah.
Did people wear white to play tennis in? Or colors were allowed?
Oh, yes. I don't think people had that many changes.
One thing I was going to tell you was that we had a fourth master. His name was William Mahoney. And he was head fourth. Now, Mr. Mahoney had a great figure, as he used to say in those days. And he had an outfit that was blue serge and had lots of gold braid on it. And he was like a poker pitcher, you know, his chest stuck out, and he had a cap. And in those days, little girls didn't wear pants. They wore pretty dresses and pretty pants underneath. And Mr. Mahoney's hand was I don't want to shock you.
Well, I think they have a name for that. That's considered criminal behavior nowadays.
We would go down in the afternoon and Mr. Mahoney would say, "Don't you want to climb up this ladder and see what's on the second floor?" Well, he would hold the body of the matter. And he would go
through it. did adults know about this in the
community? I didn't know about it until she started telling about it.
I don't know whether you did or not. We asked Mother about it once. And Mother said, your grandfather, he had one of those loud voices that bark to people who were weak. And she said, you don't have to worry about any more here with your grandfather. They're all afraid of him. So I don't remember. I didn't really want to go to the Central Forest and was up there anyway.
No, it must have been an attic or something. It was much, larger building on the wharf. And it went out much farther when the Boston boats got here.
Sure, yeah.
So do you remember any other colorful characters from the earlier days?
Well, I remember the woman that made bread and...
Mrs. Hazeltine.
Mrs. Hazeltine. She was up on George Street.
Yeah.
She was great, big, huge woman. Uh-huh. In that kitchen, we would go up at night with a container Saturday night and buy a container worth of baked beans.
Oh.
And that kitchen was so hot.
Oh.
And her face was almost stout.
Why?
And sometimes buy, what else would we buy beside beans?
Brown bread.
Yeah. And there was a handyman that wandered in here one summer.
His name was Jack McGaskill.
Jack McGaskill. Hmm. And he did odd jobs for people in the truck. Well, he liked
her cooking.
This is her cooking. And the next thing you know, he was living there alone.
Part of a scandalous fashion.
He was her significant
other. Oh, I bet that gave people a little something to talk about.
Yes, he did.
The store up here when we were young was, I was just about to say that, Perkins store.
Yeah. Perkins.
Yeah.
Yes, I have heard that.
Yeah. Sure.
And did they all carry pretty much the same line of goods, or would you go to one store if you wanted one thing and another for something?
No, I think they carried about the same.
Yeah.
And up at the post office, Mr. Dickey carried some goods.
Uh-huh.
Some groceries.
Uh-huh. Was the post office a social center of activity?
Oh, yes. If you haven't seen anyone, you have to meet them at the mail.
Yeah.
After the Boston Post stopped, then the 5 o'clock post office was everybody's meeting place.
Yeah.
And you planned the evening's doings, social doings.
Uh-huh.
It was fun.
That must have been.
So we were young down here, but swimming was the main thing that we did. And also, we liked to go on hikes.
Hmm.
And we go to Mount Percival, which is a big hill down here.
And what are some of the stories about what's down at Mount Percival?
Oh, well, up in the top, there was this old building
that
they claimed a German spy lived in during the war, World War I.
Uh-huh.
And all around the outside of the building, there were nails with the points sticking out.
That's pretty suspicious.
And there was a good view of the water from up there.
I'll bet.
I don't know what it's like today.
During the war, I lived in Akron, Ohio, and my husband was a marshal. Walked around at night. And I never felt so close to the war until I came to Bayside. All the lamps were painted black on the side toward the water.
This is World War II.
Yes.
Yes. And, that's interesting. I never heard that before.
And I didn't know that.
They talked about the war.
Well, you're talking about World War II.
Yes.
Did people have blackout shoes?
Yes.
Wow.
We had to chase down, and we moved around quietly. We were afraid of gunboats out there.
Yes.
So that was why we thought there was a German holdup up here.
Sure.
Spying on us.
Yeah. I understand that Cove Mansion was also a place that young
people
wanted to go.
Yeah. They liked to, once during the year, they used to climb the water tower up there.
Oh, boy.
This was after our generation. These were younger people.
Yes.
And before the summer was over, they had to climb the water tower.
That was just sort of a badge of courage.
Yeah.
To do that. Was there a policeman here in the earlier days?
Oh, I think it was just the sheriff. Of
yes.
Would that be Mr. Dickey?
Well, he was for a while.
Yeah.
He was when I got the post office job.
And another thing, Harriet and I had a very close friend that lived across the street. and her name was Betty Gibson. And the three of us did a lot of things together.
She came from
And on a rainy day, we played bridge, a three-handed bridge, out on the porch. And it was probably Bid Whist at the time. And then we went on to bridge.
But neither of them wouldn't let us do anything to offend the Methodists. We could play cards, but not on Sunday. On the porch.
And you couldn't sew either. Well, my grandmother was rather strict.
Yes.
I don't think she'd say anything, but we weren't allowed to sew on the porch on Sunday.
Boy, you have seen a lot of change in your life.
Well, we were never that strict, but
Mother didn't want to offend them.
Well, that was very considerate. So when you look around, what are the biggest changes that you notice in that house?
I think back in the old days, the people that owned the cottage came and stayed. And I think nowadays there are so many renters. There are so many, many children. By last year, we had that water shortage. Down here, there was a cottage that was rented to two women, and there were 10 children.
Wow.
Now, you know, they rented swimming, but they all had to have showers every day. Well, just think of the water they used, that one cottage. And there's a lot more renters now.
And I think part of it is that as cottages have become more expensive to buy, people who buy them a lot of them feel they need to do that for practice of that apple.
The one next door is rented. The people bought it last year.
They have to rent it to help pay for it.
Yes, so that's becoming more of a common
I bought the screen. We're so close. Elvin and I bought the screen on the porch early in the summer. It's just within the last few days that I put it down.
For just to have some privacy.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's a good. A lot of when you walk around town, you see a lot of people have some version of that because we're all so close together.
And
you can see and hear a lot of what's going on in Bayside, and sometimes that's enjoyable. People chatting from porch to porch. Other times.
Yeah, this is a very friendly neighborhood.
Now, is this a, are there people here that you've known for many years?
Oh, yes.
Who are some of them? Your immediate.
Next door is
the Shermans have been here. He's been here about 25 years. And that's a good thing. And then they what about the Rileys? You probably should talk to Joe Riley. He's probably been here at least that long, maybe longer.
What about Carl Madison next door?
He's probably been here about 25
years. Yeah, I think so. And his it belonged to his aunt and uncle. Before that.
Now, is there anybody here that is, has been here as long?
Bruce Reed.
Bruce Reed.
He was here with his father. And they had that big sign right over there.
What did it say?
And it said,
Sailing School. That was Marion Eaton's name, Sailing School.
And Marion came, was a teacher in New Jersey.
Taught Latin.
And she and her mother came up here, and they either bought or rented a lot of those society cottages.
Down in the park?
Down there, in Auditorium Park.
Yeah.
And they had this sign here, and she had lots of people from New Jersey from her class would come. And I know my daughter fell for one of the little boys one year. And he wanted to come to Akron, Ohio to visit us. Well, it was when my husband was in the hospital, and I tried to explain to her that we could, she thought he could sleep in the car in the yard. children are so naive. And I kept explaining to her that since Daddy was in the hospital, he couldn't do it.
Of course not.
Well, you had plenty of room.
Well, this was one of those little summer romances, and that was supposed to die at the end of the summer.
You have no reason to encourage it. So does it seem that people used to go in the water more when you were young?
Oh, yes. That was the main diversion.
Exactly.
There wasn't as much else to do.
I guess so.
And if we decided we wanted to go to the movies,
yes,
we could have a car. So we went up on Route 1 and thumped.
Oh,
now, you would never be able to do that. Can you imagine? It would be more than one of us, of course.
Certainly.
But can you imagine doing that?
No, isn't that funny?
Yeah, but we felt
there'd
very
be two
much
of us.
No,
there'd be two of us on the side of the road, four hidden in the bushes.
Oh.
You have to go up to the Colonial.
Yeah.
It was a bad day.
Uh-huh. Still there. So tell me right after that what your old bathing costume.
She was quite Scottish.
Very, very Scottish about bathing suits.
Yeah, wasn't she? You gotta get your money for
and
it.
And they were wool. Now, when I was at Way in College, I bought a bathing suit.
You were sharp, wasn't
it? Oh, mother was sharp.
What was it like?
It was sewn by your weight. Oh, so it fitted.
Oh, boy.
And it was one piece. Very fitted. And then they had an extra pair of pants she put on before it came home. And they were just a little bit bigger than the others.
Uh-huh.
And Mother said, "This is for a child." I said, "No, Mother. This is for me." That was the only time I ever had a bathing suit to fit.
Well, you know, about that time I had a bathing suit. I bought Boston. It was an Annette Tallman. She used to be a champion swimmer.
Uh-huh.
And it was bright red. Can you imagine getting a red paint?
mine was a famous name, but I remember now.
Oh, what was that famous company that made bathing suits?
Catalina is one that I remember.
No, that isn't old enough.
Oh.
Oh, Jansen.
Jansen.
Yeah, that's
Jansen.
What it was.
I think mine was Jansen.
And can you remember when men wore tops when they were swimming as well?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh,
yeah. Really? Yeah. That seems so funny now, doesn't it?
Dad used to go down and help teach us swimming.
Oh, that's a good
thing. No, I don't remember that.
He
used to go down and dive off the float.
Yes.
And where did you swim? Down at the dock usually or down below?
Well, the two of them, after we learned to swim, we went down to the dock.
I see.
And
we
swam off
this
side.
We used to, the swimming thing was this side,
oh,
on the beach, where the boats had taken over.
Yeah.
We used to swim there, and they used to clean. They cleaned off that beach. They took a lot of big rocks out there, so it was a little better.
And now it's a place for boats.
Yes.
Yes.
But that was a swimming beach, right down there, to this side of the Warren.
Yes, and this summer it is again, since the
Warren
is being repaired.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people down there on the beach who are not normally there. Were you boaters?
Yes.
No,
we weren't allowed to go out with anyone, unless they were very experienced.
Well, I think your parents were pretty cautious then.
Well, my grandmother said this bay can look like a mill pond, but it can get very rough, and people have drowned out here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I suppose they were a little afraid.
Boating was very popular, and sailboats were very popular. Until there were twin sons that came from,
Allsboro?
No, this street along here, where Peggy's is.
Park Row.
And they drowned one summer. So that killed yachting for several years.
We were only allowed to go out with George Bryan.
Yes.
He was considered a very good sailor.
Mm-hmm.
And his grandparents had come here formally.
Uh-huh.
Their name was Blaisdell.
Grandpa and Grandpa had a group of friends. It must have been 25 or 30 of them.
Yeah.
Watch it then.
That's fun.
And they all had picnics together.
Oh.
And they came from all over. Some of them came to the South Shore. And the Blaisdells lived right over there. Some of them were very well to do.
Uh-huh.
Some of them had to work all winter to take a few weeks off in the summer.
Uh-huh.
But that whole group went down to Orlando in the winter. Down back of Blair's on the water is a cottage that Mrs. Randall used to rent. And she served food.
Isn't that big brown one that's the Rosie ones now?
It's a big long one. Is it brown or red? It used to be red.
If you went behind, if you were walking past Blair's, you'd see the agency on your left, then another one right up by the road, and then there's a brown one set way back on the water. Is it
on the water?
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's it.
And whose house was that?
That was
Sperry's.
Mrs. Sperry's. Well, Mrs. Sperry also had a boarding house in Florida, Orlando.
Uh-huh.
So this whole group, 25 to 30 people, would go down there for the winter. And they played around all winter. They had a good thing going. When I decided to move to Florida, I thought of Orlando.
Uh-huh.
But I was going alone, and it was a little too big for me.
Yes.
I didn't have a group of people I played with all summer.
That makes a difference, I'm sure.
So I went to this small inside place, and
you already knew some people. Right?
Yes, and it's gotten to be just as busy as Orlando was 15
years
ago.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So how many summers have there been? Some summers where you were not able to get to Bayside at all because you lived in Athens.
Yes. It was too far, really. And
did you rent the cottage or just lock
it? No, I would have been here.
Oh, you were here, so there's always
something. I think Eleanor came every year.
Oh, I was working some of the time.
Yes.
Then I had 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But my family would be here. My father and stepmother.
Yeah.
But I would come here for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I always came here.
That's wonderful.
You become very attached to this place.
Certainly is true. I can't think of any place I'd rather spend my summers than right here.
Mm-hmm.
What's different about your cottage now when I look around?
Well, it used to end right at that threshold there.
Okay.
And at one time...
Well, this is before we ever had it.
Yeah, a naval man owned the cottage, and he built the dining room on there.
Oh!
And,
it's long and narrow.
Uh-huh.
It looked like a room on a ship. I used to sit there and dream about being on a boat.
Oh!
And, it was natural colored wood.
Yeah.
And, the windows all slid side to side.
Oh, that's a cold fashion.
And it came up, and then the ceiling went like this.
Slow.
Like it does on a ship.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mother had a cabinet built in. Well, she had to paint it, she said, because it was a new cabinet.
Uh-huh.
She painted it light gray. You know how people who are afraid of color use light gray? And then they used the gray paint up. Oh, I hated that place after that. I wasn't on a ship anymore. Didn't you ever think you were on a ship, Elder?
Oh, yes, but I didn't think I disliked it.
Well, you didn't.
Some people respond to color more strongly than others.
Well, we had a full bathroom built in the back of that room. And we had a man, I thought we could save this built-in cupboard. And he used 14 nails by month.
Oh, dear.
And he toenailed them in.
Oh.
So he didn't build the thing. He just nailed every piece in.
Uh-huh.
So this fellow worked a couple hours and he said, Harriet, it's no good.
Uh-huh.
I should just scrap it.
Uh-huh.
And so I bought one up in Hawaii.
Uh-huh. Well, you tried.
Yeah.
It doesn't hold quite as much, but
no, it doesn't.
Let's see. Can you think of anything else that we haven't touched upon? It seems like we had quite a few tufts.
Yeah.
Tell about your summer that you went to camp.
Well, that isn't about Mesa.
No, but I think it's funny.
Go ahead.
Well, I've been a great reader all my life. Now I read 6 to 8 books a week.
Wow. That's what goes like that.
I had this romantic idea of summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
Romantic. So I joined this, the Girl Guides or something, whatever the YWCA is.
Yeah.
I joined in the spring,
uh-huh,
just to go to camp.
Uh-huh.
And everybody had their pal they were going to go. And there was one girl that didn't get along with anyone else.
Oh, dear.
So they gave her to me. And the first day we were up there, it was cold, extreme, roaming. We had to be in the fur dip every morning at 6 a.m. And this friend of mine that didn't get along with anybody cut her foot on a tin can the first day, so she had to go home. And the family came up for the weekend, and Mother brought a box of divinity up. And the YWCA tries to do everything as cheaply as possible. The milk was sour. Nothing was good. Well, this divinity fudge looked wonderful, and I was so naive about it. Well, this old woman that ran it, you weren't allowed to bring any food in. She grabbed that box under the sofa.
Oh, dear, I bet you can remember to this day how much you wanted to eat it.
It really was good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't admit to the family that I'd made a mistake.
Oh, I love that when you came back with me.
Yeah, I was covered with mosquito bites.
Oh,
wasn't I?
Yeah, you had a net to catch a butterfly.
Caught a lot of butterflies. There was an old man up there with this old woman, and it served me right. Now, I didn't have a good purpose to join the YWCA.
You wanted to go to camp.
I wanted to go to camp. And Mother said to me, Harriet, you should realize that what you have here at Bayside is better than any camp.
Well, I think she
had to go
to find it out.
I never went to camp.
I haven't got it in many years.
Well, some people.
I never
You have the adventurous spirit in that town. That's how you
end
do
of that.
That's great.
Well, you were a sight when you came back.
I think this is about to run out, so, but go ahead.
One night, we slept outdoors in sleeping bags, and when I woke up in the morning, I was halfway out of the sleeping bag, so I could fit in plenty of
that. Oh, up there?
Yeah. Up in Cold Street,
wherever that is.
Did you ever camp out in Bayside? Or sleep
well,
out?
Well, yeah, we slept on the porch. We used to have a couch cabin.
Oh.
And I wish we still had it.
Yeah.
And that was a great place to sleep. You didn't get bit.
Mm-hmm.
There didn't used to be as many bugs as there are now.
Yeah,
I wonder why.
I don't know. Places water around.
No, you see, we didn't need a screen and porch at all.
Uh-huh.
You could sit out there and not get bit.
Yeah. Were there any horses here at all in the earliest days?
Yes,
that you
I think
remember?
So.
Uh-huh. So your memories go back to when horses were just sort of fading out and cars were the usual way of getting around. Well, I'm very glad I had a chance to talk to both of you.
Well, I know we told you.
Oh, you did.
Too much if you wanted
to
hear.
Yes, you did.
You know, in the old days, Johnny Dykstra, he came from New Jersey, and his family had a cottage on Hot Row.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny is 2 years older than I am, I think, around there. And we grew up with him.
Uh-huh.
And he was a treasurer of the corporation,
a college.
And 1 year he ran for the presidency. Johnny was not very well liked. He stood
up. Is this going to go down in history?
Let me think about whether you want to say that or not. You want me to stop and go back or do you want to leave it? It is history, so
He stood up at one end of the meeting and proceeded to tell us all the things he'd done. They were wonderful. But it was the type of interview you give if you were applying for a job. And he lost the bid. So he had all the treasurer's books, the great big books. And he brought them to the porch one day and showed them to me. And I would love to see them again. He showed the people that came in, paid 10 cents a head to come in here. And they had another place down farther. One up here is just a few houses up.
Yeah.
And they collected on the fourth.
The Methodist Church got this.
And they had $300 or $400 a month. 10 cents a person. And then on Sunday, and when they had meetings, they charged a nickel to rent a hymn book.
Well, they did.
Now, they were wonderful. I think they were wonderful businessmen.
Sasha.
So I would love to see those books again. Because I like figures, I remember that much.
That would be interesting.
Well, the Stella has them. And she's so afraid of fire that she has a whole family about it. She has the books in the bag right by the front door. So wherever there's a fire, they'll take them.
How did you borrow them?
Well, I don't know. I think she owns one. Now, she has a cottage on the back row, and they also have one up in Belfast.
I see. Oh, she lives up in Belfast. She's a widow now.
Uh-huh. I haven't met her.
Well, you haven't?
No, but somebody...
Well, she's been in the hospital. What happened?
She broke her hip, I think. And she spent a month at Tall Pines. That's where they send a lot of them nowadays. To recuperate.
Yeah.
The people that live alone. Now, her daughter lives up in Old Town. But her daughter works all day, so she's better off at Tall Pines. And that was that.